Our scripture reading brings us this morning to the second letter of the Apostle Peter, a letter probably not that familiar to many of us. It's found on page 1298. I'm going to read the first 12 verses, leaving verse 13 and following for next week, Lord willing. Now, Peter tells us in this letter that he has a sense that he's about to die, written from Rome. We know that in the mid-AD-60s, during the persecution of Nero, church tradition tells us that Peter was put to death. And aware of that, he writes to exhort his churches that he had had such an influence in, calling them to a spiritual zeal, but also he is very concerned about false teaching. And so this letter is going to talk about false teaching and the judgment of God upon these things. There's going to be a strong emphasis on the end of all things and the return of Jesus in this letter. But the opening section centers on the sovereignty of God and its implications for our salvation. I think most Christians, if they said, who's the real teacher of the sovereignty of God in the Bible, probably say Paul. And then maybe to get to Isaiah, that certainly would be good. I would argue for Jesus, far and away, the strongest exponent of the full sovereignty of God. But let's not leave Peter out. And this passage is interesting because of the interplay between the sovereignty of God and our responsibility. People say, well, it seems like if God is sovereign, we're not responsible. Or if we're responsible, God is not sovereign. Well, both are taught in the scripture. Our passage today in Genesis is going to deal with that as well. But look at verse 3. God's divine power has granted things to us. It's a salvation by sovereign grace. He has granted us very precious and great promises. What's the implication of that? We should make every effort to believe and to supplement your faith with virtue, to grow in godliness. Because God's sovereign, because of what he has done, we should work hard in our salvation. Verse 10 has been a question to many people. He says, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. And people say, well, so does we win our election? No, he's not saying that. What he's saying is the way that you know that you have been predestined, the way that you know that you're one of God's chosen ones is through a faith that acts. There is no assurance of salvation apart from faith. Faith is how we know that we are saved. He chose us in Christ, Paul said in Ephesians 1:4. And so knowing that God's grace is at work in the world, that he has sovereign salvation for his people, we should say, well, I want to make sure I have confidence that I'm among them. And that's going to be diligence in the pursuit of godliness. Well, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, beginning with 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever. Amen.